First Peter chapter 4. I do want to thank Brother Anthony filling in a couple Wednesday nights ago, and Brother Nick filling in last week. I went back online, I listened to the message, and it was good. I appreciate that. When God says no to you, He says yes to someone else, man. It's a good truth. And I don't want to take light of that at all. We started 2 weeks ago, laid a little bit of a foundation, teaching some things on the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I gave you two different ideas as far as being filled with the Spirit of God. Some truths that I gave you the illustration of filling a cup and being overflowing so that we can pour into other people as well. That's one way we can be filled with the Spirit. But I like J. Dwight Pentecost, his book on the Holy Spirit, the Divine Comforter. He had written in that book about one of the other ways we can be filled with the Spirit is like a sailboat. And the sail of a boat being filled with wind and being moved into another direction or being moved further in your walk with God. And I love that thought. And that's how when we get filled with the Spirit of God, yes, we pour into the lives of others, but also we move from one position to another position in our service for Christ. And we go from standing still to moving in our service. And that's always an exciting thing as well. This week we're going to look at some things that can be a little bit controversial, but more or less they're just misunderstood. There's a lot of people today, and there's a lot of heresy that's taught in reference to the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's because of the misunderstanding in Scripture. Not Scripture's misunderstanding, but the misunderstanding of people misinterpreting and misrepresenting Scripture about the gifts that God gives us. But we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost and how they are broken up into two different categories, partial gifts and permanent gifts. And we're going to break that down for you tonight and show you some different truths here. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse number 10. We'll start here and then we're going to move over to 1 Corinthians and Romans, and that's going to be where we're going to spend the majority of our time. 1 Peter 4, verse number 10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So here we are told that we've received a gift and that we are to steward that gift. And we're to steward it well for the cause of Christ, meaning that God has given us a gift to be used and we're to steward that well. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to take the truths in your Bible, in your Word, to be able to understand them, be able to break them down in a way that they could be a little bit more clear to each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to be able to, Lord, differentiate. I know there's a lot of churches out there that still practice the misuse of some of these gifts that are no longer available to the children of God. But God, I pray that you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth and look very clearly and plainly at what your word says tonight. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, go back to 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Most of the time when speaking of spiritual gifts and gifts from the Holy Spirit of God, we reference 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and we also reference Romans chapter number 12. Let me give you a quick illustration before we get into this. Just as the parables that Jesus Christ gave about the talents that were given from the master of the house to the different stewards, to some he gave five, to some he gave two, to some he gave one. And the Bible even talks about, I believe it's in Matthew chapter number 20, or Matthew chapter 25, dealing with the different parables of the steward and the talents that were given to the one he gave five, to the one he gave two, to the one that he gave one. And when he gave them the talent, they were to steward the talent that God had given them. And if they used the talent well and they stewarded it well and they multiplied that gift that God had given them, God said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so the one that he gave five doubled it and made ten, or had ten talents at the end. The one that he gave two doubled it and he had four talents at the end. But the one that he just gave one to, he went and he hid it in the earth, the Bible says. And when he come back to his master, he said, "I knew that thou art a hard man. Thou art an austere man," the Bible says. He said, "I know that you reap where you haven't sowed, and I wanted to protect the talent. And I didn't want to lose it, so I just buried it somewhere." And he came back with just the one talent, and he didn't use the talent that he was given. He didn't multiply the talent that he was given. There was nobody that recognized any kind of talent in this man because he didn't use what God had given him. And the Bible says that the master
calls him a wicked and a slothful servant because he did not use the talent that God had given him. He did not multiply that talent. Now, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible tells us that all the gifts that we have and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to every one of us as believers. And there are different gifts that are given to different folks. Again, let me read some things to you here. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are often misunderstood and much heresy is taught because of this misunderstanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number 11. It says, "But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So, if you go back, in verse number 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So here, Paul references the fact that there are spiritual gifts. And he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the fact that there are gifts that we can be given. There are things that God has blessed us with. Now notice verse number 2, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols." See, even he called them dumb. "Dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So there are different types of gifts that are given, but it's still the same Spirit of God. It doesn't mean that one person's more spiritual than another person because they have a certain gift that somebody else doesn't have. And we're going to get into all the different gifts. There's a gift of prophecy, which is preaching. There's a gift of giving. There's a gift of mercy. There's a gift of administration. There's a gift of teaching. Gift of exhortation. And we'll get into all these different gifts. And those are permanent gifts that were given, but there were also partial gifts that were only given for a time to authenticate the message of the gospel. And here he says there's diversity of gifts, or there's different types of gifts, but we have the same Spirit. And then verse 5, "And there are differences of administrations," meaning there are different levels. So some people have multiple gifts, whereas others only have singular gifts. "But the same Lord." So we all have the same Lord. We might not all have the same gift, but we all serve the same God. Okay? We all have the same Spirit living inside of us. Verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all and in all." "Which worketh all in all." My apologies. I'm getting ahead of myself. "But the manifestation of the Spirit," verse 7, "is given to every man to profit with all." So the gifts were given to every man to what? To profit. We're to take the gifts, the diverse gifts that we were given, and we're to use them for the profit of the ministry. Not for the profit of ourselves, not to make a name of ourselves, not so people can have a following of us, but for the profit of the ministry. And so we have gifts that were given to us, and we're to use those to be able to profit the work of God. Meaning, somebody has a gift. For instance, somebody has a gift of administration. That means they have good organizational skills. They ought to be able to use that in the work of the ministry to be able to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody that has a giving spirit, God has put them in the church to be able to use that gift, to be able to give more over and above maybe what others might give, because God's blessed them with that kind of spirit. Now, verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." So, by the way, wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Knowledge is knowing a fact. Wisdom is knowing how to use the fact. Verse 9, "To another faith by the same Spirit." So there are some people who are just naturally inclined to believe a little bit more easily than maybe some others would. They're just more given to faith. They've exercised their faith. They've grown from faith to faith. They've seen God work in many different ways. And so to trust God, it's second nature. What are we going to do during this time? We're just going to trust God. That's exactly what we're going to do. They're just more wholly given to faith. And that is a gift that God's given them. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. We'll talk about that in a minute. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Another, discerning of spirits. That's having a discerning mentality. To other, divers kinds of tongues. Another, interpretation of tongues. We're going to talk about those being partial gifts in just a moment. "But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit." So the same Spirit that lives inside of each one of us is the very same Spirit that works all the gifts that each of us have. "Dividing to every man severally as he will." So when we prove ourselves to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, and we steward well what God has given us, then God would be inclined to then give us more. Okay? Does that make sense? Because we've shown ourselves to be a good steward. It's just like at your workplace. If you don't show yourself to be a faithful worker, your boss is not going to give you more responsibilities because he can't trust you with the few responsibilities you already have. Okay? And so as we prove ourselves and show ourselves faithful, then the same way with God, God will continue to help us to enlarge those gifts, to be able to utilize those gifts better, to be able to enhance and strengthen each of those gifts as well. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So each one of us that are here in the church, we can't just rely on one specific member that has a certain type of gift for them to be able to do everything. No, God's blessed every one of us with different gifts. We're all to work together as one body for the glory of God. Okay? Now, these gifts are given to us by God. They are not a result of one person being more spiritual than another person. Okay? Now, yes, as we do yield ourselves to God, God will bless with the additional usage of more and more gifts. But the sole purpose of any spiritual gift is simply to edify the church. It's to build the work of God. Hold your place. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter number 4. This is a familiar verse. We've covered it before. You may even have it marked or highlighted in your Bible. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 11. Ephesians 4:11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give these different offices in the church? Why did he give these different people to do the work? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. By the way, the ministry is work. It's not just showing up to church and having church. There's a lot of work that's involved in the ministry. Okay? For the work of the ministry. Then notice, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what's done every time we come to church. We come to Sunday school, we come to Sunday morning, come to Sunday night, come to Wednesday night, we come to every night of revival, we come to every night of missions conference, because that's what good Christians ought to do, be in church. Amen. Not for taking the assembly ourselves together. Why do we come together? For the edifying of the body of Christ. See, what we experience here in a church service and the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God through the Sunday school hour and these different times we're breaking down Scripture, the edifying of the body of Christ, that's only a third of the ministry. Okay? That's only a third of the reason that we were given different types of gifts. It's for the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints, does not always happen in a church service. A lot of times that happens in the one-on-one discipleship. We're able to go out door knocking with one another. We break up different folks and put them with different people and be able to learn different good character traits and habits from one another as we go door knocking. And we're able to perfect those things or mature in those areas and learn what God would have us to do. Sometimes the simple sitting down and going over to one another's house and fellowshipping with one another, being able to iron sharpeneth iron, as Proverbs 17:17 says. That's the perfecting of the saints. The work of the ministry is done every day of the ministry here at the church. All the different things that are being done, all the different improvements, all the different work that has to be done in order for everything to operate the way it's supposed to. And then, of course, the edifying happens during the services here. Then notice verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. All these gifts were given for this purpose. Why? Till we all come together in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The perfecting of the saints. A mature child of God. A complete child of God. Then unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then in verse 14, notice, there's not a period from 11 all the way until verse 16. So all of these verses go together. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. So there is some maturity that happens. We grow up spiritually. All right? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the way, children jump from topic to topic all the time. They follow what's popular all the time. This is the most popular team. Everybody jumps on that bandwagon. This is the most popular sport. Everybody jumps on that bandwagon. That's what children do. Mature people don't always do that. They find something, they stick with it. They stay faithful. Okay? And as a child of God, we find the Word of God, and we get in the Word of God, we get rooted, we get grounded, and we stay faithful. We're not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness. By the way, there's a lot of cunning craftiness that's going on in churches, unfortunately. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're ready for the picking to deceive somebody from walking with God, but following after them. But then we're told, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then notice verse 16. From whom the whole body, notice, fitly joined together. This is taking all the different parts, all the different members that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, I know we're speeding through some of this, but I want you to see the cohesiveness of Scripture. The body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Meaning that every one of us, as members, we are those different joints. We are those different parts. We all supply something necessary for the body of the church to operate. Okay? It's what your Bible says. According, what? To the effectual working in the measure of every part. That means there's a working that goes on in every part of the church, in every member. What working is that? It's the working of the Holy Spirit to develop the gift that we've been given. Okay? Does this make sense? Are we following along? To develop those gifts that we've been given. And then notice what he does. Making increase of the body. That means the church will grow. If we develop the gifts God's given us and we utilize the gifts God's given us, then the church will grow as a byproduct. I've said it many a times. I've got it written down in my Bible right here. Churches grow because people grow. And as we grow to utilize the gifts that God has given us, then the church, the byproduct is the church will then grow. Okay? Make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How do we grow? We grow in our love for one another. We grow in our love for everyone else around us and our love to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, go back with me to 1 Corinthians 12. So here, the sole purpose of any spiritual gift is to edify the church. Now, again, many of the spiritual gifts that we cover are found in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Also in Romans chapter number 12, and we're going to go to that here in just a minute. But there are two divisions of spiritual gifts. First, there are partial gifts. And we're going to cover these very briefly. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. But there are four partial gifts that were given to the church to authenticate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now remember, they didn't have a complete word of God. Right? The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, He is the Word of God, dwelt in the flesh, and He began to teach His disciples, His early church, what they ought to be doing for the glory of God the Father. Okay? And He taught them all of that. And the Bible says, we beheld His glory. That's John the Beloved that's writing that. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Meaning that every time Jesus spoke, He spoke truth. He never once lied to them. He always told them exactly how they were to do everything as far as the church is concerned. Now, again, they did not have a complete set of the Word of God. So in order for people to believe the message that they had to give, God gave them different types of gifts. Now, He gave them four partial gifts in the early church. The first one is the gift of healing. Jesus Christ, when He came to the earth, He came and He healed. He was able to lay hands on people and heal them. He was able to take and mix up some dirt, spit into it, make some mud, and He put it on the eyes and He healed them. Okay? The gift of healing. The second gift was the gift of miracles. Okay? And Jesus Christ worked many miracles. And He authenticated His message because of these different gifts. And by the way, the apostles in the book of Acts, several of them were able to use these very same gifts. There was one who was healed just because Peter and John passed by them and they were in the shadow of Peter and John. They're in Acts chapter number 4, I believe. And so the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, then the gift of speaking in tongues, and that, listen, that, there's nothing weird about that. The word tongues is language. That means I speak in my language and you hear it in your language. Okay? So if we were to go, say we had somebody that was from another country that was here tonight. Somebody from Mexico or somebody from the Philippines or somebody from China, and they don't speak a lick of English. But we can preach the Word of God clearly in English because this is an English-speaking church. But they would hear it in their language. That'd be the Holy Spirit of God giving the gift of tongues for that moment. Okay? And then there's interpretation of tongues. And Brother Mistro, they were down in Mexico as missionaries. And there were times where he would preach the Word of God and there would be an interpreter that would interpret the message. That is the interpretation of tongues. Now, speaking in tongues is speaking, and another hearing in their own language. The interpretation of tongues is interpreting what was said, just like we have on the mission field there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Healing is touching and healing somebody. Now listen, we believe in the power of prayer. Okay? And God is the great physician and God can bring healing to anybody. But we are not one of those faith healers. Okay? Benny Hinn on TV, you know, he takes and he touches somebody. It's not my fault that he has bad breath and they fall backwards. Alright? That is not healing. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of different things that have come out with. There's certain areas on the platform where they'll have people stand. And when they stand there, there's an electrical shock that goes through their feet and causes them to fall backwards. As a matter of fact, there was one down in, was it Altel Arena? Years ago, they're in Little Rock. And they had one of those faith healing events. And one of the guys that was up there actually had a pacemaker. And when they sent that shock through him, it fried his heart. And he died on the spot. They hid the body in the closet and they found it later on after everything was over with. And they were fresh out of town, moving on. Didn't make really any headlines. Made the local papers. But that's one of those things that you would imagine would make headlines all across the country and it would put somebody like that out of business. But it didn't. Now we believe in healing as far as the power of prayer, but we don't believe in faith healing and touching people. And then miracles, the casting out the devils and the handling serpents and all the strange things that people try to do today. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, charity, speaking of love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. So here the Bible tells us that tongues would cease at some time. Okay, they were only given for a time. They were a partial gift. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Meaning there's some things that are very unclear right now. Okay, there's some things that we don't fully understand. Listen, there's going to be some things in the Bible you just got to simply believe by faith. And you're not going to be able to wrap our minds around it until we get to heaven one day. If we could understand everything in this book, we would be God. But there are things that we're not going to be able to understand. As a matter of fact, there are things in the book of Revelation that the angel told to John, hey, don't write that down. They can't handle that. They don't need to know that right now. Because there's things that are reserved for that day. Okay? Now notice, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. Notice verse 10. This is the key. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So these partial gifts, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 10, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Those partial gifts will be removed. Okay? You say, well, what is that which is perfect? Hold your place here. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse number 25. James chapter 1, verse number 25. The Word of God has all the answers we need. Amen. All we've got to do is spend a little bit of time researching it. Or in some cases, a lot of time. Sometimes a lot of time. James 1, 25. The Bible says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Remember it said, that which is perfect is come. That would be the perfect law of liberty. We know this is referencing the Word of God. Because back in verse 22, he says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And then he talks about if we, in verse 23, if we are a hearer of the word but not a doer, it's like us looking in a glass. In verse 24, we see ourselves, but we go our way and we live our lives. But in verse number 25, whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, meaning who looks into the word of God, not just a glass, but the perfect law of God. By the way, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We talked about that Sunday. And the law of God, this little sidebar, little side note, I believe in the inspiration not just of the Scripture, but in every word of Scripture. Okay? Because every word's there for a reason. The Bible says, whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, the word of God is not just a list of rules for you to dread serving God. It is a law book, yes, but we have full, complete liberty to serve God within the bounds of this book. Full liberty. Just like Adam and Eve had full, complete liberty inside the Garden of Eden. They just couldn't touch one tree. They could eat everything else in the world except for one tree. So our liberty is based on what the Word of God commands us to either do or abstain from. So whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we know when that which is perfect is come, meaning the word of God, that which is in part shall be done away. So the partial gift of healing, of miracles, of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, those partial gifts are now taken out of the body or taken away from the church. Now, could God use those gifts today? If he wanted to, he's God. He could do whatever he wants to do. But the big movement that's going around today in our churches where people just stand up and say a bunch of hoopla and say they're speaking in tongues, that's not scriptural. And we need to run far, far, far away from that. And there are a lot of Baptist churches, sadly today, Brother Thoreau shared testimony of the one there in Arkansas. There are a lot of Baptist churches that are going back into the tongue-speaking movement. Because they're following a crowd. They're following the different folks that are attending. Instead of studying the Word of God and teaching God's people God's Word. Now, we must understand, you can go back to 1 Corinthians, we must understand that during the early days of the church, they did not have a complete copy of the Bible. So, they had to use the gifts that they were given. And these gifts were then given to authenticate the message that they were preaching. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 22, the Bible says that the Jews seek after a sign. So in order to convince the Jews that the message was accurate and true, they had to perform the sign gifts. The healing, the miracles, the speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, the partial gifts. Now, we're not looking for a sign today. Amen. We are listening for a sound. That's the trumpet. We're listening for the last trump one day. The partial gifts are at the head of what we call the charismatic movement today. But we must remember that even the Bible says Satan himself can perform signs and wonders. And he can draw a following after him because of the signs and wonders. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. And verse number 22. When Moses took the rod and he cast it down, Pharaoh had his enchanters do the very same thing. As a matter of fact, when Moses, under the leadership of God, called the frogs into Egypt, Pharaoh said, oh yeah, I could do that too. And he called more frogs. That's dumb. I've never understood that. He wanted to prove that his guys were just as good as Moses. Why wasn't he trying to prove that his guys were better than Moses and got to get the frogs out of the land? But he brought them all to himself. I don't understand it. But most people are living in sin. We don't understand what they do or why they do it. Mark chapter 13. Write this down. Verses 21 through 23. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13 to 15, the Bible says that Satan would transform himself into an angel of light. And so he's going to try to deceive those that are in the church. There are a lot of things today that sound spiritual, but are not. And just because somebody sounds spiritual, just because somebody sounds like they know what they're talking about, we've got to verify it with Scripture. There's an old saying in the military, trust but verify. trust but verify. And there's been a lot of blind trust and no verification that's been happening in a lot of churches, unfortunately. Write this down, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 9. And then in Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 14. Even the beast and the false prophet, they're going to perform signs and wonders in the last days, and we understand that. So these are the partial gifts, and we see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. These partial gifts were given, they're going to cease. Why? Because when that which is perfect has come, the Word of God, that which is in part will be done away with. But then there are permanent gifts. That's what we're going to focus on. Go to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to hasten through this. Romans chapter 12. There are permanent gifts that are given to the church. I love Romans chapter 12. I've preached out of this passage so many times, countless times. And there's so many good truths throughout this book, but throughout this passage. Now, permanent gifts are meant to be profitable for the church, for the body of believers. We read that over in Ephesians chapter number 4, that all the gifts were to grow in them to bring profit to the church, to the ministry, to the work of God. Now, this list is not a limit on any of the gifts that are given in the Bible. There are some gifts that are given that are not in this specific list. But it's rather just to show you how God works and what He does. Okay? So look at verse number 6. Romans 12, verse number 6. I love it when the Word of God gives us a truth and then describes that truth in the following verses. So verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Okay, so we have different gifts, meaning that God has shown different amounts of grace in our lives. Now, same grace for salvation. But as we draw closer to God, and as we prove ourselves in our work for God, then God gives additional grace for the different gifts that we have. That's not a second work of grace. Alright? That's none of that stuff. But different gifts that He trusts us with. Because again, grace is unmerited favor, giving us something we don't deserve. We don't deserve to do anything for God at all. And so the fact that God would trust us with not just one gift, but two gifts or three gifts, that's just grace. Okay? Now, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So here we see the gift of prophecy. This is the gift of preaching. It's not the gift of saying, I have gotten a vision from God like Oral Roberts did up in Tulsa. You got the praying hands that are out there in front of the hospital. Brother Ro and I, we went up there to pray with a church member, and we went and saw those praying hands. And you should have seen Brother Ro. He was kneeling down right in front of him. Oh, I'm just kidding. He wasn't. I'm just kidding. We need to pray for them. Praise God. But the gift of prophecy. There are some out there that call themselves prophets. Now, the Bible we call ourselves preachers. All right? There are some out there that call themselves prophets, or they say they've got a vision from the Lord. God's not giving any open visions today. He's given us everything we need in the Bible. Okay? Now, the Bible does say where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Yes, God does give us a vision to do a work for Him. But I'm talking about where the skies part and the scrolls roll back and there's a giant vision and you're in a trance like Isaiah or Ezekiel was. God's not doing that today. Okay? Because we have the Word of God. So whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Skip down to verse number 9. Let's see the defining of the prophecy. And we see that in verse number 9. So he lists the gifts in verses 6 through 8. And then in verses 9 through 15, he describes each of the gifts. All right. So verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So one of the permanent gifts that were given was the gift of preaching or the gift of prophecy. That is, this refers to foretelling or forthtelling. The foretelling was done in the Old Testament by the Old Testament prophets. They foretold of a coming Christ. Today in the New Testament, we are forthtelling. We are telling you forward of what the Word of God says. So we are forthtelling. All right? Now, The gift of foretelling has ceased, but the gift of forthtelling is done by preachers and teachers in the church today. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, we were given a more sure word of prophecy. That is the word of God. Okay? We're given the word of God. Now, when we preach the word of God, notice verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. When we preach the word of God, we're not to cater to one crowd over another crowd. All right, we're to love everybody. One of the things on our tracks, loving God, loving people. We're to love everybody. We're to try to help everybody. Now listen, God, I understand, we all came out of different pits. God's dug us up out of a different pit, and some of us were in a deep, deep, dark pit. Others may not have been in such a deep, deep, dark pit. But we're to love everybody to be able to give them the gospel message. See, if we get up here and we begin to preach the word of God, but we have prejudice in our heart, then we can't reach certain types of people because we don't have love like we should. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. And then he says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. The only good thing that we have, the Bible says, there is nothing good in and of ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is none that doeth good, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 3. The only good thing is the Word of God. That's why when a man of God gets up and preaches the Word of God, he's going to hold to that which is good, and he's going to abhor that which is evil. That's why sometimes when a man of God will get up and preach the Word of God, sometimes he'll get up and preach, and he'll look like he's angry, and he's mad, and he's calling sin what it is, and he's putting the blade to the wheat and the chaff, and he's tearing it up, and he's telling you exactly what God says. What's he doing? He's abhorring that which is evil. He's cleaving to that which is good. Why is he doing that? Because he's trying to let love be without dissimulation. He loves you too much to not give you the Word of God like it was given to us. We've got to preach the Word of God. We've got to preach it with love. We've got to preach it with truth. Okay? And part of love, if you're going to love something, you've got to hate something. If you're going to love flowers, you're going to hate weeds. If you're going to love a garden, you're going to hate those little gophers and those rabbits and stuff that get inside your garden and take all your fruit. And your brother, throw it out. We did a garden several years ago. 100 foot by 100 foot. Massive garden. And if you know our property out there, there's no shade anywhere. It was a massive garden. There was one time we had planted a bunch of what'd you have? 75 tomato plants? 128, even more, praise God. 128 tomato plants. At this time, these tomato plants were taller than these little flowers. And it was one time we had tilled up the garden and we had worked the garden and we sat back just a moment underneath one small tree. It was a little bitty cedar tree. And we're sitting there trying to take a break. And we looked over the garden, as most people, you'd look over the work that you'd done. And we see in the back corner of the garden, this tomato plant start wiggling. Like, what is going on over there? And then it's gone. That sucker went down into the ground. There was a gopher. Went and stole the tomato plant. I jumped up. He jumped up. We ran and we tried to grab that tomato plant. We said, no, we're taking it. No, we're taking it. You ever fought a gopher for a tomato plant? We have. You know what we did after that? We went and got a big giant propane bottle. And we lit that, we shoved that gas down in that hole. And we lit that thing on fire. I blew that sucker up. Why? We hated him. Why? Because we loved the garden. Because you love something, you're going to hate something else. Now listen, if we love the Word of God, and any man of God that's worth his salt is going to love the Word of God. If we love the Word of God and we love God's people, then we're going to hate the sin and we're going to preach hard on that. I'm going to blow it up. Amen. You see a show up with a propane tank, you know why, praise God. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. This is the prophecy, the gift of preaching. Verse 7, or ministry, so this is the next gift, let us wait on our ministering. The word wait means literally to look. When you have a gift in your life, and the gift of ministry is also called the gift of service. And you have a servant's heart. You're constantly looking to be a blessing to somebody. Let us look on our ministering. What does he say in verse 7? Let us wait on our ministry. So let us look on our ministry. Go down to verse number 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Somebody that has got a servant's heart, they're constantly putting somebody else's needs above their own. In honor, preferring one another. That is the gift of service. That is the gift of ministry. Serving others by meeting their physical and their practical needs. We're to serve. We ought to be, listen, if we just had a church that was full of a bunch of servants, God would bless our church beyond measure. Just simply because we're looking to take care of one another's needs. We see that in the book of Acts, the early church. What were they doing? They were all giving and meeting one another's needs. The Bible says that very clearly in Acts chapter number 2. So here, if we have the gift of ministry or the gift of serving, let's look or wait on our ministry, look for opportunities to serve, and then let's be kindly affectionate one to another and prefer one another or look to meet one another's needs. This is ministering. And then verse 7, the next gift, he that teacheth on teaching. So here, teaching is exactly what we say it is, right there. Teaching. It's presenting the truth of the Word of God in a clear and a precise way. Look at verse number 11. We give the definition of teaching. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So as we teach, we're not to be slothful in the business of teaching the Word of God. By the way, if you're going to teach anything at all, you can't be lazy. You've got to study the work. You've got to be able to study the truth, the task, to be able to teach that. Because a teacher that does not comprehend a certain subject cannot teach that subject because he's not fully convinced of it. He doesn't know the ins and the outs of it. And so we have to understand the Word of God. We have to get into the Word of God. We can't be slothful. Those of you that are Sunday school teachers, don't wait till Saturday night to study your Sunday school lesson. You've got to study and study and study, and you can't be slothful in your business. Understand, the business of the work of God is far too important for us to waste our time and to be lazy in the ministering of the Word. And then, fervent in spirit. My youth director used to always say, with all teaching, there is preaching. And with all preaching, there is teaching. What was he saying? He's saying, don't be dry and dead when you teach. Now turn your Bibles to... Don't just lecture. Be fervent in spirit. Get excited about what's being taught according to the Word of God. And then, serving the Lord. I made this statement several weeks ago on Father's Day. You can tell, but never teach until you practice what you preach. You can tell, but never teach until you practice what you preach. We got to be able to serve the Lord. And if we're going to teach somebody to do a work for God, we've got to show them exactly how to do it and serve God with them. We got to be able to get in the trenches and do just that. Now, notice next, verse 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation. Exhorting is a motivation to encourage and prompt others to growth. Now look at verse 12. How can I exhort one another? How can I encourage one another? Verse 12 tells us exactly how. Rejoicing in hope. You can encourage others when you rejoice when they rejoice. Right. Somebody gets good news and you rejoice with them. You praise the Lord, attaboy, good thing. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. You can encourage somebody when you're just simply there. Patient. During the trial with them. Listen, in the book of Job, we give a lot of flack to Job's friends because they ridiculed him. And rightfully so. The best thing they did for Job was when they sat with him silently for 7 days. They were just there. And sometimes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Sometimes we just got to be there. Sometimes all it takes is just showing up in somebody's lives and being there. And sometimes being an exhorter and being an encourager, just simply being there during the tribulation and being patient with them as they begin to work out what God's already done in their heart and in their lives, and you're just there. Sometimes people aren't always looking for answers. They're just looking for somebody to listen. Looking for somebody to be there. Patient in tribulation. And then notice, continuing instant in prayer. One way you can encourage somebody is just simply praying for them. Just pray for them. Just help them. Pray that God continues to open up doors of opportunities. This is motivating somebody to growth. Another gift that's given in verse 8. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now, this is referring to the gift of giving. Let me go ahead and make this statement. This is not to be confused with the fact that every Christian is commanded to give. Okay? I just don't have the gift of giving. Okay. But God commanded you to give. A tithe is what we give to the Lord because we owe it to God. We give our offerings, we give our mission, we do all these different things. The gift of giving is somebody that just has a naturally giving spirit. Somebody who will give the shirt off their backs. Please don't do it right now. I don't want to see anybody shirtless. All right? But somebody that will give the shirt off of their backs. Somebody that will just simply help. When they don't have anything else to help with, they're going to try to find another way that they can help. We had a guy Sunday night. It was Sunday night, wasn't it? Come in after the services. Had a family. Asked if we helped with bills or we helped with food. We had a food bank and that stuff. I said, brother, we don't. We're a small church. We don't have extra finances, different things like that. I said, but we might have some food here in the fellowship hall. Would a little bit of food help for right now? Would it be able to get you on your way? Brother Brandon went with me in the fellowship hall. We gave him a box of ramen noodles. We gave him some bags of chips. We gave him some drinks out of the refrigerator. We filled up some bags for him just to take, just to give. Because there was things that we couldn't do, but there's something that we can do. Amen. And we ought to have that giving spirit. Just because we can't solve all the world's problems, there's some things we still can do. There's some ways we can help. And we try to help out as best that we can. You say, well, where's that found out over here? He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. If you've got the gift of giving, then you're going to be looking to meet the needs of one another. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Somebody's going through a hard time. I remember several years ago, Brother Throw and myself, our neighbor, Mr. Henry, battling bladder cancer. Well, because of his chemotherapy treatments and all the different things that he was going through, he couldn't get out there and mow his yard. He had just bought a brand new zero turn, 60 inch. Man, that thing was nice, let me tell you. But he couldn't get out there and mow his yard. Well, all his family was working, all these different things. We were just trying to be a blessing. The whole summer, we mowed all 10 of his acres and got out there just to be a blessing. We didn't ask him to pay us for it. He offered to pay it. We told him we weren't going to take it. Just keep the gas cans filled up and we'll keep your rigs filled up and we'll get it taken care of. Just being a blessing. Just trying to help in areas. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Let me ask you, are you given to hospitality? Are you looking for ways to be a blessing? Amen. We ought to be able to do that. God's given each of us gifts, given each of us opportunities. You say, well, I'm not that good at giving. Well, these are gifts that we can practice. These are gifts we can practice. I'll tell you this much. Several years ago when I was a teenager, our church in Jacksonville, we had gone through a Wednesday night study with Brother Files, and he was teaching through the gifts of the Bible, the Holy Spirit gifts and the different spiritual gifts. As he taught through them, he went, and one specific Wednesday night, we had a spiritual gifts test that was taken. It was administered. He administered, he moderated it from the pulpit, and we took this test as a congregation. And he showed us exactly how to score it all and everything. I found out as a teenager that my two weakest gifts, all right, let's just be a little vulnerable to you for a minute. My two weakest gifts were the gift of giving and the gift of mercy. Those are my two weakest gifts. For me, as a young person, it was not natural just to give to somebody else. Because if somebody's struggling in the gift of giving, they usually struggle in the gift of mercy because they have the mentality of, well, they can do it themselves. Well, they can find a way to work it out. And just very cold toward it. That's something I've had to work on. Because in the ministry, that's not going to build anybody, having that mentality. Now, I've got to learn how to give of myself. I've got to learn how to give extra. I've got to work harder at that. And that's a gift that I have to develop. Does that make sense? And so we all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses. And we've got to be able to find out what our strengths and weaknesses are, know what our strengths and weaknesses are, and be able to build those for the glory of God. Now, This is somebody who has a giving heart. Notice next in verse 8. After he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. So this is the gift of ruling, or what we would refer to the gift of leadership, the gift of management, the gift of delegation. He is to do it with diligence or with purpose, with preciseness. If somebody's going to lead, they're going to lead very specifically. They're going to lead with purpose. They're going to lead with a vision. They're going to have diligence about it. So he that ruleth with diligence. How is he supposed to do this? Look at verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Anybody that is leading anything at all, whether it's a ministry or even at a workplace, a manager, an assistant manager, a supervisor, anyone that is leading is going to get ridiculed. Right. Why? Because they're an easy target. Anybody that is leading, anybody that's doing something is going to get ridiculed. Now notice what the Bible says, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. The leader's job is not to fire back when somebody ridicules them. He is to bless them that are persecuting them. And then it says, bless and curse not. Because anybody that's going to lead, they're going to have shots that are fired at them. It's not their job to try to defend a position. Their job is to lead those they were given. Does that make sense? To take them from one location to the next location. If they spend all of their time, if a leader spends all of his time hunkered down in the trenches defending where they're at, they never further their stand. They never further what they're doing. Now, there are others that are around there that are able to fight, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't defend what we've been given. We should defend the Word of God. We should stand firmly on the Word of God. Have no problem with any of that, okay? But as we are persecuted, we don't always have to defend ourselves. Let God defend you, and you just lead and do what God's called you to do. And so those that have been given the God-given ability to lead, to manage, to delegate, to organize, to work together with others, they're to do it purposefully and with the intent of trying to be a blessing and not a curse. Because people, tend to draw from the spirit of their leader. If their leader is negative, then they're going to have a negative outlook on life. If their leader is a positive leader and somebody that's an encourager, then they're going to have a little bit of pep in their step, and they're going to be willing to be positive and encourage others around them as well. And that's going to develop that person then who's been a follower to learn how to be the proper leader to lead the next generation as well. So a leader is not just leading, but a leader is also preparing the next people to lead. Because that's what a leader is supposed to do. He that ruleth with diligence, purpose. And then lastly, in verse 8, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This is the God-given ability to empathize and to comfort others. As I shared with you, mercy was a gift that I struggled in as a teenager. It's one that I have to work at, to empathize, to see something from someone else's perspective, to comfort one another. How do I do that? Look at verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Being there for somebody and rejoicing in their victories, but weeping with them and shedding tears with them when they've lost some loved ones. Being merciful. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There's a way to show mercy, and there's a way to weep with fellow believers and still give them cheerfulness in the Lord. And if we're going to show mercy, we've got to be able to do this. We've got to be able to rejoice with those that are rejoicing. We've got to be able to weep with those that are weeping. Why? Because we put all this together. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. When we put all this together, then our church can have unity. We take the gifts that God's given us, we develop them for the glory of God, and then we use them for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed.